WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of Muse Talk 620 WWNR.
Come on, say it. Come on, say it, say it.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
In my email at bob@headonradio.com. Official announcement from the United States government. The government today announced that it is changing the national emblem from an eagle to a condom because it more accurately reflects the government's political stance. You see, a condom allows for inflation, halts production, destroys the next generation, protects a bunch of woo-hoo, and gives you a sense of security while the Republicans in control are actually screwing us. Pretty accurate, and thanks, Chris, for sending that along. A couple of things in the local wires that I just had to get off of my chest. Dateline Charleston, Governor Manchin wants insurance companies to lower their auto rates sooner rather than later. He called on insurers today to start reducing their rates before he signs legislation that immunizes them from third-party bad faith lawsuits. Now, the last line of the story, never mind all the gobbledygook in the middle. The last line, remember, they started out saying, oh, it'll be $100 million, and then it was $50 million. You know, before he signs it into law, he wants to make sure we get our $8 a month for giving up our constitutional rights. God, I hope there's a lawyer out there somewhere getting the lawsuit papers ready on this one. Because statute law can't trump constitutional law. And the United States Constitution, and I believe the West Virginia Constitution as well, guarantees us a right to petition for redress of grievances. Even sacred insurance companies. But anyway, the last paragraph, the last two lines of this story are the important ones. Representatives of the five insurers either did not respond to requests for comment or were unavailable. Because, you see, we didn't get any of it in writing. You never deal with an insurance company without getting it in writing, because they are professional liars. They are professionally dishonest. We didn't get it in writing. We may not even get the $8 a month. Because with a straight face, the insurance companies will look up and say, we didn't put anything in writing. We never signed off on a promise or anything. Do you realize how dangerous the roads are in West Virginia? Because that's what it'll be next. First it was the trial lawyer's fault, and next it'll be the road's fault. So, you know, once again, sort of caught out and made fools of, that would be us. Oh, and by the way, in case you were wondering, from the Gee Thanks Guys department, the little West Virginia's English is the official language law has made the national news. Oh, it was a topic of truly ribald, truly risome commentary this morning on CNN's American Morning. All the Soledad O'Brien and Bill Hemmer and Jack Cafferty just sat there and, ho, how about that? Hey, here's today's email question. West Virginia has declared English its official language. What do you think? And, Lord, the emails flew in. One fellow from Iowa, for God's sakes, we've got Iowans laughing at us now. A fellow from Iowa writes into them and said, well, you know, I had always planned on visiting West Virginia, but the language barrier held me back. Thanks, guys. Thanks a million. So we got that. Being made fun of by Iowans. Do you get that? Being made fun of by Iowans. You know, the state that Radar came from. Ottumwa. Dubuque. We're being made fun of by people in a state with a city named Dubuque. Oy. And on the statewide wires, great moments in Republican politics. For the past decade, State Senator Karen Facemeyer has inflated the mileage reported to the state from her Jackson County home to Charleston. Now, bear in mind, she changed it from, 45 miles to 50 miles or 52 miles so that she could get a tax break. She never moved. She never changed residence. It just one day it stopped being 45 miles to the Capitol and became 52 miles by some sort of Republican math magic made easy. See, there we go again. Republican faith-based mathematics. If you believe it's 52 miles from Ripley to Charleston, then it is 52 miles from Ripley to Charleston. Even if you take out the little odometer thingy and you drive, and it's 45. No, I believe, yea, verily, I believe it's 52 miles so I can get my tax break. Amen and amen. Starting in 1995, she started fudging the numbers from 45 to 52 miles. And it has meant thousands of dollars. And of course, like any good Republican, she said once she was caught, well, I didn't mean to. Sort of. If it turns out there's any problems, I'll pay the money back. And I guess if you're a Republican, that's what you get to do. Well, I stole, and it was wrong. And now that you've caught me, I'll give the money back. Okay? Now, you won't prosecute me, will you? Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. If you did that, if you stole that kind of money, what would they do to you? Where would you be? That's right. You'd be under the jail in a cell with some big dude named Bubba, having him call you girlfriend. You understand? But since she's a Republican, she can just give the money back and everything will be okay. You got to wonder where West Virginia wants to know is on this one, don't you? You're familiar with West Virginia wants to know, right? That AstroTurf group by that's run by that carny woman. I don't mean that she's like a carny, one of those sort of rangy-looking people that hides behind booths in the midway and rips little children off of their money. Not her last name's Carney. Well, after all, West Virginia wants to know is funded by Don Blankenstein's AstroTurf organization and for the sake of the kids, which to this date still is not a charity. Hasn't provided one thing for any kid, but they did provide the beaucoup de money for West Virginians want to know. So Facemeyer says she had no intention to cheat the state of or the Internal Revenue Service. No, no. Her house just miraculously went from 45 to 52 miles from Charleston. That's pretty cool. I want to go to that math class. That ought to be pretty fun. And turning to a more national view, let's all do remember that bug spray delay has said that his problems, the fact that, he's just a guy who can't say no when it comes to political corruption, that's the Democrats' fault. Right? Yeah. He says that grand hypocrisy party senators should blame Democrats if they're asked about the fact that he's probably the dirtiest congressman to come down the pike. What, ever? And it's the liberal media's fault. sure, Tom. Now take your money and go make your speech in front of the National Republican Rifle Association like a good little political hooker. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take our break. The phone number, of course, is 252-6200. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. And, of course, we stream live for you every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. You can go through the portal there to my site, headonradio.com. Join in the message boards. You're certain it's free. Might as well take advantage of it. And you can send emails to me, Bob Kincaid, bob@headonradio.com. So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff there for you. We'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles per the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes! 40 miles
to
the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.toyota.com. Sale ends 4/31.
It's time for the YMCA Spring Break Camp. It happens April 18th through the 22nd at the YMCA from 7:30 to 5:30 every day. Just bring your swimsuits, towels, and a packed lunch, or $3 for lunch. There will be swimming, movies, outings, and most of all, FUN. Call 252-0715 for more information. That's 252-0715 for the YMCA Spring Break Camp. And remember, summer's just around the corner. The YMCA Summer Day Camp is a safe, fun, and exciting way for your child to spend the summer. You can sign up now at the Y. At Bruce's Carpet Care, we treat your carpet like dirt. That's why we clean it with such care. We'll move your furniture and put it back. Give free estimates. We never miss appointments. And we're offering a spring special. 4 rooms and Scotch Guard for just $99. We have 3 trucks to serve you better. We've got the most advanced equipment. Oh, we're very professional. But to be honest, we're going to treat your carpet like dirt and clean it accordingly. Bruce's Carpet Care. 253-3419.
253-3419. Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Yeah, so in the middle of all of these problems, Grand Hypocrisy Party senator comes out and says, "The power of prayer will sustain Tom DeLay." And, of course, that was Trent Lott, who himself got thrown out of his position of influence and power in the Senate when he got caught going to Strom Thurmond's birthday party in a Klan uniform. "The power of prayer will sustain Tom DeLay." And Tom said, "Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. Power of prayer going to sustain me." Yeah, same old thing's going to sustain old Tom DeLay. That'll sustain me all a lot. Money, baby. Now, you got any legislation you want passed? Drop your money in the box. That's Tom DeLay. Tell you what, let's go to the phones. Jeff's with us. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Bob, how you doing?
Doing good, yeah?
Fine. I haven't really said a whole lot about Tom DeLay for a while because I've not really had much information.
Yeah.
But I really can't believe that you're getting on him when it's the Democrats who are the top 5 out-of-state out-of-country trip takers on our dime.
Yeah, because it was the Democrats that set up that foster children charity for corporations to give to and then funnel the money to Americans for a Republican majority. Democrats did
that. No, of course that has nothing to do with it
because it's Tom DeLay and he's a Republican and he can do no wrong in Jeff's book.
The top five out-of-state, out-of-country trip takers are Democrats, and they don't go to poor places. They
right,
go to the big
right. It's the Democrats' fault because it was the Democrats that got all wrapped up with Jack Abramoff and took Indian gaming money for trips to Scotland and Russia and South Korea. Those were Democrats. No, sorry, Jeff, that was Tom DeLay again.
It's Harry Reid's four children who've both taken over $2 million in lobbying fees.
Oh, right. And right, it was Democrats. It was Democrats who were paid by Americans for a Republican majority some $500,000. It was Democrats. No, sorry, you're wrong again, Jeff.
No,
that
I'm
was
not
Tom.
Wrong,
that was Tom DeLay's wife and daughter.
Harry Reid has more family members.
Right, right, Jeff. That's right. It was Democrat Harry Reid who was sitting in a hot tub with lobbyists pouring champagne over him. Nope, sorry, Jeff, you're wrong again. That was Tom DeLay's daughter, Danny.
It's Hillary's campaign manager.
Ooh, get Hillary.
Right now.
Get Hillary. Blame Hillary first. Yay, go ahead.
Every single one of these Democrat leaders, it's Barbara Boxer who circumvented
First of all, Jeff, let me straighten you up a little bit, Jeff. If you're going to talk about my party, at least call it by its proper name. It is the Democratic Party. Know it, use it. It's Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton.
Well, then
Democratic Senator.
Then I expect you to use the proper term with the Republicans then.
Yeah, Republicans.
That's not the proper term.
It's not?
But irregardless, it's Barbara
Boxer. Slime mold beetle President George W. Bush? I mean,
Barbara Boxer who circumvented the law to get gaming on Indian reservations with the help of Harry Reid hiring her son, Doug, to help get this thing going through. And Harry Reid helped get federal lands out from under government control to where they could use that in their Indian reservations and let the Indians get table games that they promised that they wouldn't get, and that, you know.
Oh, listen, everybody. Jeff's been reading his talking points. He's reading them to us now.
Oh, well, you've got on here over and over and over, and you act like Tom DeLay is the only person, but the Democrats.
Tom DeLay is a scum-sucking dog, okay?
Says Hillary and Harry Reid and
Sorry,
Barbara Boxer.
Sorry, no. No,
yes.
Tom DeLay, no, you see, that's why there is an indictment pending for most of the people who work with Tom DeLay.
And there's indictments for Hillary's campaign people, too, coming.
No, sorry, yes. Jeff, I read up on that one. That's not going to go anywhere.
$1 million of unaccounted for California money.
Yeah, okay, Jeff, sure,
but,
whatever you say.
You know, like going back a little bit to last night, under LBJ, there were 68 senators that were Democrats.
Okay, wait. Under LBJ, so you're talking about from 1963 to 1968, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're telling me.
But I haven't told you anything yet.
You're telling me the best that you can do is history that's 45 years old. Why don't you worry about the scum in your own party and try to clean your own house,
Bob,
Jeff?
I just had to listen to you the other night go on and on and on and on.
No, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to me.
You don't want listeners to your show?
Sure I do, but you make it sound like I've got a gun to your head. I'm part of the Kumbaya crowd.
But listen, under LBJ, there were 68 senators that were Democratic. 295 representatives were Democratic. 20 senators were from the South. Now it's down to 4.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
this
because
liberal
when,
Democrat
because
thing
when,
is losing
no,
but, ground.
No, Jeff,
you are
damn, I hate it when
quicksand.
You. I hate it when you're ignorant,
you're
Jeff.
Quicksand,
I mean, uninformed
Bob.
Is one thing, but ignorant is another. There are fewer Southern senators now, Jeff. A lot of them went over to the Republican Party when my party decided not to embrace racism anymore.
Well,
okay, that's why Strom Thurmond became a Republican.
You know,
all right.
It was,
yeah, I'm sorry. You've got to deal with it. You are in a party of racists. It's not me. It's not somebody else. You made a conscious choice to be part of a party of racists and killers and kitty diddlers and ripoff artists and warmongers and baby bombers. Don't try to blame the Democrats for that, Jeff. That's the conscious choice that Jeff made. You made that choice. You're part of the party of personal responsibility, Jeff. You need to take personal responsibility for your actions. Just stand up like you're at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and say, "Hi, my name's Jeff. I'm a Republican. I'm a part of the party that believes in bombing babies and ripping off the middle class and giving corporate tax breaks to the..." Yeah, you understand? That's you, Jeff. That's not me. That's you.
It was the racist Bobby Kennedy that begged Lyndon Johnson to not sign the 64 Civil Rights Bill because he didn't want to, A, degrade and belittle the...
So once again, we're talking about 1964 instead of 2005. Jeff, this is pitiful.
He didn't want the Republicans there when they signed it.
Okay, Jeff, we're going
to... Lyndon Johnson said no. They deserve to be here. It was the racist Kennedy.
Jeff, let me know when you get to 2005. You're in 1964 right now.
Well, I don't want to hear about Blair Mountain ever again.
Huh?
I don't want to hear about...
Okay, then when I start talking about it, Jeff, you stick your fingers in your ear. When you become a radio professional, you can tell me what to do. All right?
KKK Bird. We don't want to hear about him either.
Okay, and let's see. What'd you say? You never talk about the personal peccadilloes of the people you're opposed to?
I asked you when was the last time, and you couldn't tell me.
What?
When was the last... I didn't say I've never made personal attacks. I said, when was the last time I made a personal attack, and you couldn't remember?
And then you said Hillary... Or you said Bill Clinton and Monica, and I said, look, you just did. Jeff, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, you're coming to a battle of wits unarmed. I admire your courage, but my God, man, don't come here with 1964. You've got racists in your party right now.
Negative.
Deal with it. Deal with it.
Good debate, Bob.
No, okay. You don't have any racists in your party now.
No, I don't.
No, not Trent Lott.
Was it Bird that was saying the N-word on TV, not
Trent Lott?
Ago?
You do remember when Trent Lott showed up at Strom Thurmond's birthday party, and we'd have been a lot better off if Strom Thurmond had been elected in 1948. You do remember that, Jeff. You're in a racist party.
What
Deal
price
with
did
it.
Trent pay for that?
Deal with it, Jeff.
What price did he pay for doing that?
He lost his Senate Majority Leader
and
status.
And what price did Bird pay for saying it? Nothing.
What do you mean?
He got the free
pass. You see, Jeff, Bird did something that Trent Lott has never done. Trent Lott is still a member of the Concerned Citizens of Mississippi, or whatever the name of the group is. They're a Klan front group. He's still a member.
No.
Bird isn't a member of the Klan, okay? Bird said, boy, did I make a howling mistake. Bird
That's
is beloved by
does.
This state's black community because he reached out and embraced them as opposed to continuing his ugly racism, the ugly racism of the Saxby Chambliss's and the Jim DeMint's and the Jim Inhofe's and the God knows Bill Frist and... The Haley Barber in Mississippi. The list is almost endless of these ugly, ugly little racists that you embrace, Jeff. You know, my God, you know, you're going to wake up and grow some ethics someday, and I can't wait until you do. We're out of here. Thanks so much. All right, time for our bottom of the hour break. More phone calls when we come back. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Man, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him mow your lawn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Raleigh County man could face up to 20 years prison for robbing a Crab Orchard bank. Arnold Campbell Jr. of Princewick pleaded guilty to a federal bank robbery charge Wednesday in U.S. District Court Beckley. Campbell walked into the Whitesville State Bank January 27th armed with a 6-inch knife and bandana covering his face and made off with a little more than $1,600 and was later arrested by sheriff's deputies the next day. The Whitesville Bank was robbed again a month later when Earl Albert Moore of Glen Daniel walked in armed with a revolver and took off with more than $2,500 cash. He was arrested near the bank just a few minutes later and is now facing federal bank robbery charges. Lawmakers made a surprise visit to a Mount Hope Juvenile Detention Center yesterday. Members of the legislature's Committee on Regional Jails and Prisons found no major problems during their two-hour inspection of the Gene Spadaro Juvenile Center, but they feel some changes need to be made. One concern was about security. The center has no fence around it, and some local residents were concerned about escapes. Director Ralph Terry says he's met with Mount Hope Mayor Michael Martin about letting some of the youthful offenders help in the community by picking up trash, sweeping streets and sidewalks. He says any fears about security have pretty much now gone away. For the past decade, State Senator Karen Facemeyer has inflated the mileage report to the state from her Jackson County home to Charleston. By doing so, the Republican avoided paying federal taxes required for lawmakers who live less than 50 miles from the Capitol. The Charleston Gazette reports Facemeyer received about $2,000 more in state mileage reimbursement money by exaggerating the distance of her commute for attending legislative meetings. That's the news. Now the forecast for the rest of this evening, clear and chilly, with temperatures in the upper 40s to around 50. Tonight, clear with a low mid-30s. There's a chance of some light frost tonight. And then for Friday, mostly sunny again, a little bit warmer. Tomorrow's high in the low 60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Legislation that would prevent the Internal Revenue Service from privatizing tax collection was introduced in the House today. The bill, introduced by Representatives Rob Simmons of Connecticut and Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, comes as the IRS moves forward with plans to do just that. National Treasury Employees Union President Colleen M. Kelly explains the potential impact of the IRS plan.
This is going to risk taxpayer privacy as well as invite aggressive collection tactics on the part of these collection agencies, because they will be paid with a bounty by being able to keep up to 25% of what it is that they collect.
The IRS also recently announced plans to cut more than 700 customer service positions and close nearly 100 taxpayer assistance centers. The centers assisted more than 7 million taxpayers in 2004. According to Kelly, the IRS has already begun implementation of these changes, with some of the more drastic reform coming as soon as 6 months from now.
Wages for the average worker in the U.S. are down, falling behind the rate of inflation, despite the fact that corporate profit growth is strong. Wages adjusted for inflation dropped in 2004 for the first time in a decade. Why is this happening? Jared Bernstein is an economist with the Economic Policy Institute.
I think it's very much a matter of bargaining power. Again, it comes back to the slack in the job market, to the increase in globalization, to the diminished presence of unions in our economy.
The Economic Policy Institute says in February, manufacturing and service worker wages grew by 2.6%, while inflation was at 3%. Bernstein says that there's plenty of wealth being generated, but it just isn't going to working families.
The slices of a growing economic pie tend to be cut smaller for the working class in such a setting. Workers just don't seem to have the bargaining power right now to claim their fair share of the growing economy, and therefore, given those dynamics, most of the income growth flows upward.
Madison, Wisconsin is preparing to get the sweat out. The city council is preparing to weigh a bill that would prevent taxpayer money from being used to purchase goods made in sweatshops. City Alderman Austin King says he introduced the legislation because he felt it was time for the progressive city to adopt an ethical standard.
We're going to have an ethical standard for the way that we spend our tax dollars. We're not going to spend it on goods or services that were produced under really disgusting, inhumane conditions.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Increasing global unemployment has hit youth the hardest. A study from the International Labor Office suggests that in 2004, those 25 and under made up 47% of the worldwide unemployment rate. The study says that having the youth unemployment rate could boost the world economy anywhere from $2.2 trillion to $3.5 trillion. Sub-Saharan Africa would see the greatest gains, with an estimated 12 to 19% increase in that area's GDP.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
24 minutes before 8 o'clock. I've stepped in it now. Doggone it. talking about the commentary to CNN's American Morning this morning about our English as the official language. I made a reference to Dubuque, Iowa. I retract said anything negative about it, I do hereby retract. Hit the email during the break from Dale. Hey, you have at least one listener in this town. Can Dubuque be all that bad? By the way, Dubuque, the oldest city in Iowa, was named after its French founder, Julien Dubuque. And no, it's not that. It's a wonderful place. And it was the first and only railroad bridge across the Mississippi was built at Dubuque in 1868. Did you know that? Opened for settlement in 1833. I meant no profound disrespect. Thanks for writing in, Dale. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. It's about us constantly making fools of ourselves in West Virginia. Roadkill bills, tongue-splitting bills, and bills that can't pass the legislature because somebody's mad that we might name a section of highway after Hank Williams Sr. Oh, my God! You know, that it's the Beverly Hillbillies image. Done made it clean past the sixth grade, our whole dang legislature. Oh, bless my soul. My apologies for any effrontery. I think it's a beautiful section of the country. I've driven through there once or twice. Let's go to the phones. Ben Birch is with us. Hey, Ben, how are you?
Hey there.
What's going on?
Well, just responding a little to Jeff, and just you know, going after the tactic he uses, which a lot of the right-wing debaters use, I say, Tom DeLay is dirty. And they say, Edward Kennedy is dirty, too.
Right. Or you get a Chappaquiddick reference.
Right. But it doesn't matter. No. First of all, for anyone who, just for those people who haven't noticed, I don't like Senator Kennedy very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a lot of Democrats who really love him. But at least he's always voted on our side.
Right.
Okay? I didn't elect him. And, you know, you have to take it up with the people in Massachusetts, anything about Chappaquiddick.
Yeah, that's their business, isn't it?
It is their business. Now, but the point is, the fact that somebody else is dirty does not defend or exonerate DeLay.
Yeah, that's not going to get you very far in freshman debate, is it, Ben?
No. It's a primary, you know, that's a red herring.
Yeah, and we said, you know, Kennedy is Massachusetts' business to a large extent. DeLay is is that district in Sugar Land, Texas' business. However, he does occupy a position of national influence. And that,
yes, he does, and it wouldn't matter to me if he didn't. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You know, if we've got somebody who is doing the sorts of fundraising shenanigans he's done, I mean, essentially ripping off a trust fund for disabled children.
Yeah, that's classy.
Oh my God, let's rob the orphanage to get elected to office.
That's literally taking candy from a baby.
I mean, Simon Legree did stuff like that.
I know.
That's a Snively Whiplash sort of thing to do.
I was thinking of who's the bad guy in Oliver?
Fagan.
Yeah, Fagan. This is Fagan stuff.
Yep. Yep.
And
I had the misfortune of having to take a two trimester course called Charles Dickens Survey at the University of Chicago.
Oh, Lord God, you have my sympathy. I mean, the guy got paid by the word, Ben.
Yes! In fact, I wrote that as part of my, like, term paper for this course, was that, you know, one of the most important things you could determine comparing Dickens to his peers was that the people immediately before Charles Dickens were not paid by the word, and in fact, conversely, they paid to print each word.
Right.
And therefore, they, you know, brevity was the soul of wit to those people. And whereas Charles Dickens was able to launch into huge, dissembling, you know, digressing, recursive definitions of the scenery around things that nobody else had been able to afford to do prior.
Yeah, pages on a leaf. You know.
And he could not afford to do otherwise because he was paid by the word.
Yes, for Dickens, brevity was the soul of starvation.
Right. Well, the learned professor who had made his career of Charles Dickens was not happy with my essay.
You know, I'll never forget reading Bleak House, Ben.
Oh my God.
That's
Jarndyce versus Jarndyce.
Exactly. For 900 pages.
You know, I did some searching around at one point to try to find the actual basis for Jarndyce versus Jarndyce, and there is a case or two that were very similar, but there's no actual case that is just like that.
No, but the nature of the equity system in merry oldie England it was possible for a case to drag on for generations.
And they did. And there were cases like that. But you know, a lot of our clarity of that is lost because the old English law clerks, the way legal records were prepared is that they were painted with brushes onto thin wooden boards.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, like the thinness of a balsa wood sheet for an airplane wing.
Yeah, the veneer stuff.
Right, and those were then all bundled up in red tape.
Whence the phrase, yeah.
Yep, I mean, literally, it was red cloth tape. It was all bundled up in. It was how they tied up bundles of these documents. And then they were stacked in a warehouse. Well, at one point in, I think, 1860, that whole warehouse burned.
Right.
And so a lot of our history of English jurisprudence went up with it.
But in mentioning all of that, Ben, you bring up a very interesting point, and that is, this current new complaint about the activist judges saying we've got Supreme Court judges relying on international law. Last I checked, isn't our very legal system itself founded on international law? Isn't it the Anglo-American jurisprudential system?
Well, to a degree, you know, we do derive a lot of our legal system from English common law.
Yeah.
You know, and also from various sorts of maritime law, and although a lot of our land demarcation system we seem to have gotten from the Spanish.
Some of you're absolutely right, we did. But the great humor in all of this, and you know, there's if they weren't so damn dangerous, Ben, we could just sit around having a giggle all day long at the machinations of the right, because at the same time they're wetting their pants over, you know, Anthony Kennedy was citing international law. These people want to ram a piece of international law that's 4,000 years old down our throats.
Look, if these guys get their way and manage to weaken judgeships to the point where politicians do influence judges, I just want them to remember something. Political fortunes change.
Oh, yes.
Someday our party will take over, and when we do, maybe the Kumbaya crowd will open up its fangs.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, exactly.
At the very moment we have control of this country again, and that's the reason they're going to keep cheating to keep it in, at that very moment the criminal investigations are going to start, and the abuse of the laws they have put into place will begin against them, and they should remember this.
Well, you know, how bad does the Republican Party have to get for Bob Dole to step in and sound like the voice of reason? You know, you did see where he chimed in, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And said, you know, I don't think, I'm Bob Dole, I don't think you want to get rid of the nuclear, I don't think you want to go the nuclear option, because we're not going to be in power forever.
Well, you know, that's because Bob Dole is probably the last really intelligent man to run for president from that party.
True enough.
You know.
But, you know, honest to God, Ben, I think half of these people really think that if they just get elected one more term, that that'll be when Jesus comes back.
You know, first of all, if I understand their little book there, it does say to look for him at no expected time.
Right. No man knows the date or the time.
And all these people who are busy making an industry, you know, like, you know, the left behind people and so forth, out of attempting to predict that it's about to happen, should bear that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's not likely to happen when you're expecting it.
What I love is the fact that they sort of, Mark Morford, you ever read him?
Occasionally.
Had a great column in San Francisco, the SFGate.com, and he said, is it possible that he's already come, taken a look, and said, no way, not you people. Because I said last night that if he showed up, that Secret Service guys would tackle him just like they did that little Chinese dude on the steps of the Capitol
a couple
of days ago. You know,
I heard that.
Yeah, brown skin, dirty hair, shabby-looking robe, sandals, speaks a funny Middle Eastern language. That's a definition of a dead guy on the steps of the Capitol.
Yeah, I would say so. Weird piercings.
Yeah, hence they would kill him all over again. And
yes,
for all we know, they already have.
No, he's probably in Gitmo.
Yeah, awaiting his military tribunal.
But no, the thing to understand is you can't defend a slime ball by delay by pointing at another slime ball and saying, look, over there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, I stopped falling for that when I was six.
I know. That's why I kept trying to point out the things that he's actually guilty of. My particular favorite is the daughter in the hot tub with the lobbyist pouring champagne on her.
Well, you know, I've been to parties like that. Well, never mind.
Yeah. remain unincriminated. Ben, thanks so much, man.
You take care.
Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. I've been to parties like that. Let's go to Maggie. Hey, Maggie, you're head on. Hey, Maggie.
Well, there's no use to argue with these damn Republicans because they will never see the light.
Well, they don't. There is blind by nature, Maggie, and there is blind by choice. And I think we're dealing with blind by choice here.
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you what Boy George has done.
Okay.
I am on quite a bit of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been getting my medication from a clinic, Bob.
Yeah.
I didn't get it free. I paid some money for it, but it was very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So now they wrote me a note and told me after 2006 that I had to sign up for a Medicare prescription card, which I didn't want to do.
Mm-mm. No, you didn't. And they're going to make...
Because, Bob, from what I hear, it's no good.
No. Well, the thing is, these prescription drug cards don't even necessarily guarantee you a price break. That's why it's a con job, Maggie. It's a pure con.
Well, just think what people like me is going to have to do now, Bob.
I think about it all the time, and it makes me want to scream.
And think about what he's put the veterans through. Think what a raise they got.
Yeah. And more people coming home blown to bits from Iraq every day.
Without even legs.
Yeah. Well, look at we've never really gotten around to discussing it fully, but the Traumatic Brain Injury Act in Congress passed it a couple of years ago. Traumatic brain injury, you know, that's like concussions and, you know, being permanently messed up in the head by virtue of loud things blowing up near you and sort of shaking your brains till they're jello. 60% of our wounded soldiers coming back from Iraq suffer from traumatic brain injury. In George Bush's budget, he has zeroed out funding for traumatic brain injury. What does that tell
you?
What
you know what ought to happen to him? He ought to have to pay them money out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
And now think of what we're paying for gas. And it's his doings that we're paying. We can't even afford to fill our tank up anymore.
It was 8 years under Clinton that gasoline never rose above $25 a barrel, roughly. And Republican congressmen stood on the floor of the House and the Senate and screamed bloody murder about it. And now it's over $55 a barrel, and they are as quiet as the tomb, Maggie.
Oh, yeah. Well, and like Jeff was talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Every time that there's somebody brought up, it has to be Bill or Hillary Clinton. And Bill Clinton was one of the best presidents that the United States has ever had.
Well, do you know why they go after him constantly, Maggie? Bill and Hillary drive them nuts because every time some Republican stood up and tried to run against Bill, he beat them like a barred mule. And as a consequence of that, they feel like they've got to keep going after him. It's kind of like the relationship between the abused and the abuser. And they got abused constantly by the Clintons, and they're like an old dog that likes to be kicked. They come back for more and get kicked again.
You know, Bill Clinton always said that they could throw him in a bar patch anytime they wanted to, but he'd come out fight.
Exactly. And, I hope the rest of our party can learn that.
I hope one night that you can have Paul back on your show.
Okay.
They explain some stuff. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, Maggie, I sure do appreciate it.
Okay, Bob, and thanks for letting me vent, okay?
Oh, anytime you want to.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye now. Yeah, just a minute to mention that. What I said about traumatic brain injury, take that to heart. Next time some knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, dead-from-the-neck-up Republican tells you that George W. Bush supports the troops, just stop for a moment and reflect upon the fact that 60% of the wounded soldiers coming back from Iraq have traumatic brain injury, and that in this budget he reduced funding for the Traumatic Brain Injury Act from $9 million to zero. You know, mathematical zero. Nothing. Nihil. Niente. Now square that with George Bush supports the troops. If you can square it, you are a better square dancer than I am, because I can't. Traumatic brain injury. Sounds pretty, doesn't it? It's a brain injury. You know, it's not a brain killing, it's not brain death, it's not Terry Schiavo, it's brain injury. Are any of you familiar with something called shaken baby syndrome? That's where these mommies with no support and no help and no training have their baby, and a couple of months later get profoundly depressed. The baby cries, and they pick it up, and they shake it. That is a traumatic brain injury, and it makes that baby where that baby will never grow up quite right if the baby doesn't die. I can tell you the autopsy photos are not pretty. That is the same thing as traumatic brain injury that 60% of our wounded vets are coming back from Iraq with. Traumatic brain injury? Call it shaken soldier syndrome, and maybe people will identify a little bit more. And remember, for those 60%, George Bush says, no money to study how to help them. So just kind of put that one on file for the next time you're talking to some miserable, rotten, dead-from-the-neck-up Republican who says, George Bush supports the troops. I support the troops. No, you don't. You voted for George, didn't you? Sure did. He's a moral man. Bug spray. Moral. Does a moral man take funding away from somebody whose brain is all messed up because he went and followed the colors into the war that the other guy started? Traumatic brain injury. Traumatic brain injury. Traumatic brain injury. TBI. TBI. GWB. Then again, I guess you could argue that George W. Bush has gotten along just fine with traumatic brain injury for most nigh his entire life. So what if 60% of our injured veterans, and that's numbering something on the order of 20,000 now, isn't it, if not 30,000, 60% of them going through Walter Reed, have it. It's the kind of thing that makes you look up and see a cab driver with brown skin and suddenly want to kill him.
It's the kind of thing that makes you wake up in a cold sweat screaming your head off at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's the kind of thing that makes you punch your spouse in the face while you're asleep because you're having an ugly dream from the day the IED blew up. TBI, traumatic brain injury. Brought to you by GWB, George Walker Bush, who says that those soldiers don't deserve to have funding to study how to help them. Pitiful little $9 million budget. But we don't have the money for it anymore. And you ask yourself why we don't.
That's because of the liberals.
Put down the Kool-Aid, for God's sakes. Listen, more of your phone calls when we come back. The phone number, we got an open line, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. When we come back. Right now it's time for the news. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Daddy, I think Bullet wants to go outside.
Then take him, son. Sure, he's a Great Dane, meaner and 100 pounds heavier than you. Sure, he's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at 4, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist twice.
Like this?
I use both hands, but hey. Now show them who's boss. Let them know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
Come on,
you wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
They can spit that fat out this instant.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
All right, your 4-year-old son ready for the big leagues. Strap down, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, check your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but put it in it.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy, run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
Ow.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
You should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock. WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Half minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob, this is Head On. In an attempt to expiate my stupid reference to Dubuque, more than 1 million tourists visit Dubuque annually. And those are smart tourists, too. The first Iowa-Wisconsin bridge was built there in 1889. It's a gorgeous place. I apologize. Moreover, I apologize for our legislature that made fools of us with this English-only bill. 15, 20 grand a year we pay these guys for this stuff. Oh, brother. Let's go straight to the phones and Micah. Hey, Micah, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm good, you?
Doing pretty well. I just want to preface my question with, I don't want you to ask me if I'm a Democrat or if I'm a Republican.
Okay, I'll try not to.
The question I have is actually, it's a nonpartisan question.
Okay.
I guess what I'm asking for is a clarification of a statement that you made during the last segment in reference to, and what I'm saying, it sounds a lot like a hate crime statement when you reference something making you mad enough to look at a brown-skinned cab driver.
Yeah.
What I want is a clarification, because I think it's an opportunity. If you truly meant it as a hate crime statement, then I'll take that for what it is, and I'll hang up and I'll say goodbye.
But I got no hate in my heart, Micah. I'm talking about what happens to our soldiers, and I'm basing this on accounts that I've read, okay?
Well, and I guess what I'm saying is, let me back up for a second. I'm not saying, again, you know, to argue the soldier situation is a little different. What I'm saying is there's nothing that happens anywhere in this world that can justify you hating a person simply for the color of his skin.
Oh, I agree. Oh, God, Micah, I agree so much.
Okay, that's what I was asking or less than anything else.
Because
it sounded like you almost were justifying it.
No, I'm not. Oh, God, I hope I'm not. Because what I'm talking about is an actual account of a returning veteran who was in therapy for post-traumatic stress disorder. And he was literally, when he went into therapy, what he described was an inability, you know, that he would see a Middle East, a cab driver of Middle Eastern extraction, okay, and would start flashing back on what he had been through in Iraq and would be filled with murderous rage. That's what I'm describing. I'm in no wise excusing it.
To go in any, as far as the $9 million, I will not claim to, you know, to say where, you know, because I'm sure those funds were appropriated for some other area. And to say that I guarantee I know they were put to some good use or to some bad use, I do not know. Because that would be arguing a point that you are far more educated on than I. I am, like yourself, I would love to know where indeed these $9 million went to. Now, if they were redirected into another veterans or military support fund or some sort of medical treatment. I mean, they may be redirected from research
into
treatment. I don't know.
Well, see, it's not part of the veterans budget. Micah, it's part of the CDC budget. And it goes into research for everybody who suffers from traumatic brain injury. You know, it can happen in a car wreck. It can happen if you fall down the stairs. God knows we learned an awfully hard lesson this past weekend. It can happen on the football field. So this was an element of the CDC. It was because of a piece of legislation passed in Congress a few years ago called the Traumatic Brain Injury Act. Okay? And it was funded at $9 million. And they didn't divert the funds. They didn't redirect the funds. They zeroed the funds.
Well, and I guess what I'm also going to say that those funds went somewhere, because I know taxes were not cut by $9 million. I know I still paid my same amount of taxes. I know the dollars went somewhere.
Well, they did.
I really didn't call to ask more about the $9 million.
Sure.
But at the same time, I was, you know, I'm always curious to see that if $10 million from funding was cut from this program, where was it redirected? And those are things that, again, you are far more educated and aware in a situation like that than I.
Well, unfortunately,
those are always, you know, questions that I have in my mind.
Unfortunately, it wasn't redirected. This is supposed to. If you study Bush's budget, Micah, it is a voluminous document to begin with, but it is supposedly an austerity belt tightening budget. Okay, so that's why we get this cutting of Amtrak funding. That's why here in West Virginia we're looking at having to cut the budget of our state Medicaid budget by the $2.7 million that we spend here on disposable undergarments for, you know, people on Medicaid. It wasn't redirected. It was literally cut out in an effort to close the gap on the deficit that started being created long about January 2001. Does that make any sense at all?
Well, yeah, and I say again, I don't want to get too much into that because, like, that's something I don't know a whole lot about. But you know, it's always a question in my mind. But
yeah, and
I nothing else wanted to give you an opportunity to, and I don't know if other listeners got the same feeling from your statement that I did. Maybe I just simply took it wrong, but it almost felt to me like.
Well, if for you or for anyone else, there is no justification for race hate. It's one of the things I despise most in this country, and that's why I try to talk about it and expose it and show it where it exists.
Sure.
But by the same token, I think equally criminal, Micah, is sending the flower of American youth into a situation in which they wind up coming home that way. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to a strong extent. At the same time, that's where our views are probably going to split a little bit, because I don't feel like, how do I say this? But I'm very much in support of the fact that I make note of the fact that it's a all volunteer army.
I understand that too.
And again, at the same time, I know that when an individual signed up, that they, I'm sure the recruiter didn't warn them of, you know, traumatic brain injuries. But I'm sure, and it has to be in somewhere in the back of their mind that they're aware of all the possibilities.
Right, and one of the things that concerns me most is that we've taken a very competent fighting force. Okay, that we went from zero to Baghdad in 5.6 seconds for all intents and purposes. But then once we had done that, we were ill prepared to turn these warriors into peacekeepers and policemen. And I think I think it's patently unfair to expect them to be able to do that.
Well, and to an extent, I agree with you. At the same time, I think we're probably, and I think still by far, the best trained, most skilled military in the world.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt of that.
By being the largest, well, not quite the largest army, but with the capabilities and the strength that we do have, you're also forced to be put in so many scenarios that there's no way that the military can possibly be trained for every possible scenario.
I understand that, but by the same token, other countries with militaries far smaller than ours, Micah, have discreet peacekeeping units that are trained to do that as opposed to train for war. You might remember a few months back when the suggestion was made about trying to get, Sweden. Sweden has a very elite peacekeeping force, and they're very good at what they do. Someone mentioned to George Bush bringing the Swedes in, and the only thing he could do out of it was to disparage the Swiss.
Well,
wildly different groups there, the Swedes and the Swiss.
Well, I also feel like you need to be aware of each military might in this world has its own niche, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no, the Swiss, to my knowledge, have no known enemies, and in a sense that they do not need to spend a lot of their time and energy on other operations besides peacekeeping. And I feel like that's possible. They found their niche within the military world. And the U.S. having the ability to be and the responsibility of being the quote-unquote older brother of the world has the responsibility of looking out for other situations. So we almost don't have the opportunity to feel the position of strictly peacekeeping in that sense.
Well, maybe it's something worth having a look at, though. I mean, we are taxed almost. Well, it's not me; it's officials of the military that have come out and said that our all volunteer army is broken right now.
Well, and
that's generals far smarter than me.
Military recruitment has always been everything in the world is cyclical, but this is even and numbers will show you that it's far more cyclical. And even through Vietnam, even though the draft was in place in Vietnam, even, and again, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize, but I feel like the in some areas and some, to some extent, the volunteers of a certain demographic were improved during that time. And my father was had actually graduated from high school in 73 and enlisted for a six-year term, and you know, directly after high school. So he actually volunteered during the Vietnam era.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it was towards the end of the conflict, but it was. But I feel like there was a large majority of volunteers that happened, and that, again, as part of that cycle. And I feel like yes, that we are actually in a trough, if you will, of that cycle at the moment. And because the enrolling numbers, recruiting numbers after and post 9/11 had a strong spike.
Yeah, they spiked, and then
the same. And I think right now what you're actually doing is you're actually, you've reaped the rewards from the enlistment spike after 9/11, which everyone knows that understands law statistics. The higher your peak is, the lower your trough is going to be.
Well, there's an element of truth in
you've that, dipped too. Into that quote-unquote talent pool so much that you have nowhere else to go but down.
Right, but now, I think you'll admit that extraneous factors can have an effect on that trough as well.
Oh, I agree, and I understand that's any number of things. For example, right now, if I was a 19-year-old, 18-year-old senior in high school, and I don't want to go to college, and I look at my choices are college, working full-time, taking a trade, or enlisting in the military, right now is an opportunity for me to make another decision because there is so much press coverage of these, you know, 6-12 month tours of duty being extended,
right,
and some are being extended indefinitely. So by all means, that would cause me, you know, I could see where an 18 or 19 year old would, you know, have second thoughts about that.
Oh, I've
always been a strong supporter of the military and what they volunteer and give up. And I actually had some health issues that kept me from joining the military.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. So, but again, I'm different in that sense because my father was a volunteer and I think the absolute world of what, you know, the time.
Oh, I have
and history that he volunteered. I mean, it was a very brave thing to volunteer during the end.
Indeed,
of Vietnam conflict, not knowing that it was exactly coming to the end.
Right, and for my part, you know, I've got a military history that goes back literally generations. And it just so happens that I'm the first one, first generation that didn't have to go and serve. Micah, I appreciate your time and I appreciate your call. I hope we'll hear from you again. It was a great conversation.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. And break time, then more of your phone calls at 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. There is a line open. Jump right in. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities.
bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Friday, April 29th, a who's who of leadership training comes together for the Maximum Impact Simulcast, the most powerful leadership event of 2005. Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, motivational expert Brian Tracy, Florida State head football coach Bobby Bowden, best-selling authors Patrick Lencioni, Michael Gerber, Marcus Buckingham, and John Maxwell, America's foremost authority on leadership. Don't miss this unforgettable day of leadership development, Friday, April 29th.
Coming to the Raleigh County Armory Civic Center. For tickets, call 255-4600.
Beckley's premier dinner restaurant, The Char, is now open and under new ownership. Same exquisite food, same exquisite staff and service. The Char is fine dining at its best. The Char is newly remodeled and is proud to announce the addition of Southern West Virginia's finest wine list. Open for dining at 5, 6 days a week, closed Sunday. The Char, Dry Hill Road, Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Another moment of my expiation for my inadvertent slander of Dubuque. The Fenelon Place Elevator, known as the world's shortest and steepest scenic railway, was erected in 1882 and elevates passengers 189 feet from 4th Street to Fenelon Place. I gotta ride that someday. Oh, God, our legislature. Legislators have a hard time with English as a first language and don't want anybody else speaking. Oh, God. Let's go to the phones. Ed's with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Sound like a good number on Jeff. You know, about the time you get ready to think he's got a couple items right, he gets in that loco weed patch again. And you're talking about ethics. All they can holler about is the semen on Monica Lewinsky's dress. Why don't he bring up Frank Hyde and that Burlington and he talks about Bird. Bird is the only man that can get really something into West Virginia, and it seems like they want to do damage to him when he is a helping hand. He's got more Social Security benefits and stuff like that through to people. And then you got Nitwit Gingrich there. He went out on his wife while she was dying.
Right.
And then Trent Lott is a complete idiot.
Oh.
And then them talk about Bill Clinton. And then, you know, racism, bring on Bush in there. You know, he wouldn't even go before the NAACP for an interview.
Well, that's true. He's stiffed him, what, two, three years in a row now?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
He's stiffed him 2 or 3 years in a row now. He won't even address them?
He won't even acknowledge that they're there. But I just wanted to tell you, I love to hear them Republicans call you. I mean, you know, you don't make an idiot out of them. You just point it out to them.
Well,
and that's a real good job. My telephone's going to go dead on me. I'm on the
cordless
cell phone.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to give you some backing there.
Well, I appreciate it.
You know, absolutely, he's got a personality that one time he can be right, and then the next time he's got his head up in the state of denial somewhere. And that's typical of a Republican, isn't it?
In many ways, Ed. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, buddy.
Talk to you later. All right. What Ed says has a great deal of truth to it. I mean, frankly, I left it in the box. I've got a list of moral values Republicans. I printed it out. Maybe I'll get to it after the bottom of the hour break. This list of moral values Republicans is about 10 pages long. And frankly, a list of the same, I'm sorry, you can't just say Hillary, 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 Hillary. No. I mean, for God's sakes, I heard Dr. Bill talking a little bit about that article on the Dominionists that is in Rolling Stone. These people who want to literally turn America into a Taliban-style theocracy. And here's the scary part. For those, you know, for those of you who are moderate and say, well, you know, I share their vision of religion, blah, 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 you're not safe. I'm not safe. The Catholics aren't safe. The Jews aren't safe. The Muslims aren't safe. The Taoists, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Jainists, the Sikhs, the practitioners of the native religion of this land, none of them are safe from the Dominionists because they have the right to declare what religion is. And God forbid they ever actually do get hold of this country. This is what they want. They will bring Armageddon or some pale imitation of it. What they'll wind up bringing is World War III or IV, depending on what you're doing with your Roman numerals right now. They will bring that because they feel like they have the right to kill anyone who does not believe like them. And that includes Lutherans, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Catholics, Greek Orthodox, Syrian Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox, Maronites, Gnostics. Christianity has nothing in common with the Dominionists, these freaks down at Coral Snake Ministries. And if you get a chance, go and read this article. It's called The Crusaders. It's you can get it online, Rolling Stone. And there's one key paragraph in there that just got all over me. Went through me like a dose of salt. And that was the paragraph that described that while they were having their little snake handling convention, they gave an award to some guy, I think his name is McCoy. Another one of those great moments in West Virginia social history. They gave an award to this McCoy freak because he was the one who successfully destroyed the anti-bullying programs in our high schools. And he destroyed them because the Dominionists believe that it's okay to stomp the guts out of anybody that they think is homosexual. Now, I don't know what their ultimate plan is, if they're going to have some sort of Hester Prynne scarlet letter. Or if, again, they get to decide who is and who isn't. So, you know, that slightly effete Lindsey Graham, the Republican senator from South Carolina, you know, he talks like you know who I'm talking about. Well, they've got the right. They believe they have the right to decide who's heterosexual and who's not. And the ones who aren't, they get to kill. I'm not making this up. What's worse, I'm not exaggerating even a little bit. Read the article for yourself. Are you proud of Mr. McCoy? I'm not proud of Mr. McCoy. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Emotions ran high in a Mercer County courtroom yesterday as a 15-year-old girl was sentenced for the murder of her father. A tearful Kayla LaSala was sentenced to 25 years prison for fatally stabbing her father, Stephen, more than 100 times in his Bluefield home. In January, LaSala pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. The prosecutor, Bill Sadler, said LaSala killed her father because he opposed her dating an older man. But LaSala testified on the witness stand that she had been both sexually and verbally abused by her father. Sadler says he's happy with the judge's decision.
I think the sentence was appropriate in this case. With the factors, I thought the judge did an excellent job in describing the aggravating and mitigating factors that are present in this case. I think I'm satisfied with the sentence, and I think the family was too.
LaSala will stay in a juvenile detention center until she turns 18. The court will then automatically review the sentence and determine whether to proceed with the remainder of the 25-year term in a state prison. Governor Manchin wants insurance companies to lower their auto rates sooner rather than later. The governor called on insurers today to start reducing their rates before he signs legislation that immunizes them from third-party bad faith lawsuits. The governor also singled out five companies that together promised to knock $50 million off auto premiums. They are State Farm, Allstate, Nationwide, Erie, and Westfield. Charleston's brand new baseball park opens tonight. The city of Charleston is excited about the new Appalachia Power Park, which is on the east side of the city. The park is the new home of the West Virginia Power professional baseball team in the state capital. For years, pro ball was played at the old Watt Powell Park. And the state's pharmacists are urging Governor Manchin to increase Medicaid spending by $30 million to capture more federal dollars. Pharmacists say they would eliminate the need to cut the state's program budget, which faces a $156 million deficit. The State Department of Health and Human Resources is considering several proposals to cut funding. For the rest of this evening, clear. Temperatures in the upper 40s to around 50. Tonight it stays clear and chilly with temperatures mid-30s. Could be some light frost in some areas. And then for Friday, another nice day. Sunny tomorrow with temperatures in the low 60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
George W. has gotten another in-house legal opinion to let him do what he wants to do, even if it is clearly wrong. On everything from autocratically gutting environmental rules to authorizing the torture of prisoners of war, Bush has rationalized some of the worst aspects of his tenure on the specious grounds that, hey, his lawyer said it was okay. Now the sycophantish legal beagles in his Justice Department have told George he can engage in something that is totally un-American. Propaganda. It's been revealed that at least 20 federal agencies under Bush are aggressively pushing government-produced and distributed news segments on hundreds of local television stations. Segments that, big surprise, laud our glorious leader for policies ranging from prescription drugs to beef exports. These TV news bits use actors posing as reporters, and they almost always air without any mention that, by the way, what you just saw as news was the product of the Bush PR team. Covert propaganda is what it has been properly labeled by the GAO, the investigative arm of Congress. In three official opinions in the past year, the GAO has ruled that agencies using our tax dollars to make prepackaged news segments that proselytize, deceive, and distort in order to influence the public amounts to government-sponsored propaganda, which is illegal. You'd think that would be that, but no. Far from being embarrassed, the White House got Justice Department lawyers to hack out a legal opinion declaring that the Bushites' brainwashing is legitimate news material. Plus, said Bush's lawyers, GAO legal opinions aren't binding on the White House, so a memo has now been sent to all agency heads telling them to ignore the GAO findings and merrily keep on propagandizing. This is Jim Hightower saying, in case you don't want to be propagandized, the Center for Media and Democracy has effective grassroots actions you can take to help stop the Bushites. Call them 608-260-9713.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. And on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Hey, great, man. Hey, I really just wanted to call and just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate what you've done for the Republican Party and for truth and for a record number showing up for the presidential poll. You know, if I was a bet... Hey, listen. If I was a bet man, which I'm not, if I was, I could almost swear that you are a secret agent for the Republican Party because you've done so much. But keep on shining. I hear you. And that's the kind of stuff I want you to say, Bob, because it helps people. Hey, Bob, I'm not insulting you. I'm thanking you.
Whoa. Is it true? It's true. Homosexuals. Homosexuals. You better get away from that coke machine because they'll accuse you of some kind of perversion. Look, let me tell you something. Who was that? Calvin Coolidge? So he's one of your detractors, huh? Oh, Calvin, I tell you, you're too much. You know, I've got a good website for you to take a look at when you have a chance, okay? www.washingtonblade.com. Uh-huh. If you really want to read about some of the stuff that's going on in the gay community in Washington, particularly in the log cabin group, oh, yes. Well, that's an interesting crowd. It's sort of an oxymoron to me as a gay Republican, but, you know, there it is.
We only use oxymoron when we're talking about Flush Flimball.
Oh, hell, just take the oxy and drop it. He's just a damn moron. And as far as somebody's being brain damaged, I mean, I think that Bush was in the wrong place at RFK this afternoon and got hit in the head with a ball. That happened about 30 years ago.
Oh, man. Bush and baseball, you know.
I mean, you know, hey. That's his game. He loves it.
Well, yeah. I mean, they ripped off...
How much money?
There you are. You there, Jim? Sorry about that, Jim. Technical difficulties.
That's all right. How much money do they steal from those people?
In Arlington?
Well, I mean, just name a place. I'm sure there's been some money that's been misappropriated somewhere.
Well, I mean, the Bush family criminal enterprise was good for millions of ripped-off dollars in Arlington, Texas, when they made the people of that area finance and support
stadium.
That god-awful stadium.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'll tell you, they just have a flair for being able to make people part with their hard-earned cash, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, if there's money being ripped off, can a Bush be far behind?
No, really, the reason I call is it's about a group of people that are coming up for anti-war protest charges on May 7th.
Yeah, where is that?
I believe that's going to be somewhere, let's see, Binghamton, New York, or someplace like that.
Yeah.
There are two places, I think, but anyway, they went into a MEP station, and apparently they poured their own blood out in the foyer of the building, and that got a lot of people upset. And so now...
I don't know why. I mean, Republicans love pouring blood out.
Yeah, but, you know, they like to see innocent young people who have been told that they're going to be able to see the world, get an education, and get all these wonderful bonuses and stuff like that. Once they put their name on that 4-1, then the rug's pulled out from under them, so to speak.
Do you follow Doonesbury?
No, it's above me.
there's a great segment going on right now where Mike Doonesbury's kid is being recruited, and it's just precious.
Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. You know, in some of these, recruiting tactics, particularly with the Army. I mean, if you really want to go see where the action is, that's the place to go. Join up with good old Army. But, you know, these recruiters, honestly, some of these guys are just unbelievable. I mean, you know, they're even told by the people at USAREC, and that's the MACOM panel's recruiting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have to tell these guys about these things like student loan, tuition assistance, and stuff like that, don't tell them. So we won't put that addendum in their contract.
Right. And well, and what's more, I mean, the pressure is so high on them. I was reading not too long back, Jim. There are recruiters out there who are suicidal.
Oh yeah, they have lots of problems with those guys because they have the they have a system of points.
Right.
And they get so many points for every recruiting for every successful night person that gets signed up. And listen. They'll come and visit you at 3 o'clock in the morning if they have to. But the thing about it is, it's not a very good place to be. If you get put into recruiting, it's either because you're highly masochistic or you have really, really made somebody very, very mad.
Well, you know, there is a groundswell that's changing the country right now. A couple of recruiters were driven completely off the campus of the University of California, Santa Clara, in the last week or so. Nobody was mean, but they just, students, pro-peace students, simply surrounded the table. No threats, no meanness, but they just, you know.
Well, you know, people are wise.
You know, they just surrounded them. They wouldn't let them.
$9 million for that particular CDC-funded search. Okay?
Yeah.
Research.
Traumatic brain injury.
Well, that money, you know, didn't. That money just went poof. It went to some other program. It was just, you know, jerked right out of a budget.
Yeah, it's gone money. It's dollars.
It just may as well have gone up the chimney as far as, and it probably went into somebody else's pocket.
Well, I'm sure. Maybe some bloodthirsty thing that Tom DeLay wanted.
Well, like I say, good old Tom, you know, I'm sure glad he's still there. And if he keeps acting like he's acting, I want him to keep giving at the office, you know?
Yep. Yep.
But the thing about it is, he's worth 100 Democrats.
He could single-handedly change the makeup of Congress.
Honestly and truly, the more excessive that man becomes, the more successful he thinks he is, the more stuff he thinks he can get away with, eventually, even the Republicans are... I mean, he is really a terrible embarrassment to many of them.
Oh, yes. And, I mean, you know, when Christopher Shays came out, man-dog sex Rick Santorum said, he's going to come clean. And, my God, when Newt Gingrich, one of the dirtiest men ever to occupy the office of Speaker, when Newt Gingrich comes out and says Tom DeLay's got problems,
Newt said that.
Oh yeah.
Well, and that.
I mean, when a guy who was
here's nursey.
Yeah. Well, when a guy who was
that's a pot calling the kettle beige.
Yeah, he was. I mean, my God, Newt Gingrich. Let's remember. Lest we forget, Jim. Newt Gingrich was having sex with his congressional aide while he was still married, not through that aide, while he was screaming for Bill Clinton to resign over the Lewinsky affair. This is a classy guy. This is the guy now who says, you know, Tom DeLay's got some real ethical problems.
You know, I'll bet some of the furniture in the Speaker of the House office, if it could only talk.
Ugh. I'd like to think they've...
I don't think I'd want to see that, though, here to count.
I just want to think that they've used disinfectant by now.
Hey, let's hope so. Listen, by the way, I got to go here. I know you're busy. You got people wanting to call you. I just love it when you take Jeff out behind the woodshed.
Apparently, a lot of people do.
I mean, you know, the guy is just like one of these. What is it? Like one of these big dolls. It's got a big, big bottom, and you hit it, and just keeps coming back up for more.
God bless him. You know.
I mean, you know, where's he gonna learn?
Well, Helen Keller didn't stand by the pump and scream "wah" the first time that Annie Sullivan poured water on her hand. You know, we just got to keep pouring the water, Jim.
Okay, I'll take your word for it, Bob. I mean,
although sometimes it is like the miracle worker around here.
Well, like I say, I just love it when you take him out behind the woodshed because, you know, the boy just sits there and just tries to mouth something back and. Boy, talk about taking a knife to a gunfight. Jesus, Lord. But when you hear him on the morning show, a few times I'll listen to that because that guy, I mean, I get sick every time I listen to him. Lord have mercy. I mean, it's just like, you know, Old Home Week, you know? It's just amazing how some of these people just come on and...
Well, I did hear a piece of gossip that my statement that West Virginia senators served for 4 years was questioned. You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't just make things up, Jim.
Well, I know you don't make things up because God knows the minute you did.
I don't have to.
No.
You know, I've got a paid professional staff all over this country. They're called the Republican Party, and they go out and do stupid things. Sometimes I think just for me.
Well, like I say, you know, people like Uncle Tom, Hot Tub Tom DeLay, and some of these other people are AFL, you know, they're just going to, I don't know, maybe they'll model themselves to death. Who knows? But it won't be a long time coming for that particular crowd, because those Republicans aren't going to stand around and take too much more of that, because they see what a liability he has become.
Yeah, he came out again in the last day or so, Jim. My God, came out after the judges again on the same day that Eric Rudolph, and I've got his statement here, and I can't wait to go into that. That's a real beauty.
I'm sure it is.
I've got Eric Rudolph's statement here. The same day that he comes out and says he's got the right to bomb anything that he wants to.
That's what he said.
That more or less 11 pages worth. You know, and, you know, I'm sure Tom DeLay's sitting there going, "You go, brother, you go."
Well, I tell you, let him run his mouth, let him keep on. And, you know, some of those people up there, and Bob, I'm going to tell you something. Washington is a town that can chew you up and spit you out.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing is,
you don't leave there on your own 2 feet, okay?
Yeah. Well, you know, but that's the other thing. Texans are, you know, I've made some Texas jokes. I don't think I'm ever going to make any jokes about any other states after the Dubuque debacle this evening. But Texans are proud people, and they realize that the entire country is looking at that district in Sugar Land and laughing at them and wondering what kind of addle-pated ninny morons they must be to keep returning that goon to the Congress.
Well, like I told you before, last November, he only got 53% of that vote of his own district.
And he's not polling very well in his district right now.
Not at all.
Even the knuckle walking mouth breathers are beginning to look up and go, "Well, Tom, it might be time to go, buddy. You've got the pension now, right? Good. Okay. Son, take your retirement. Get on down to your lakefront property and have a nice time, barbecue something dead, and leave us alone."
Well, I don't know. He may put himself in such a position that they might have other plans for him.
He would look good in Leavenworth making little ones out of big ones.
Oh, I was thinking about Angola.
Oh, wouldn't that be delightful?
By the way, you use an old expression I haven't heard in a long time, like a dose of salt.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. That just brought tears to my eyes.
Well, you know, that's a product of having spent a childhood with a woman born in 1896.
Well, let me tell you something real quick. I got to get out of here.
Sure.
This friend of mine was telling me he had problems with, you know, I guess, his alimentary canal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just jokingly, I said, "Well, you need to take a dose of salt." And he said, "Well, what's that?" And I said, "Well, I think about a teaspoon or a tablespoon full of 8 ounces of hot water." And I said, "That ought to work wonders for you.
You won't have any problems anymore."
But what he did, and he says that I deliberately misled him, he took instead of a teaspoon, he used the same fraction to a cup or a half a cup.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't hear from him for about 3 or 4 days.
Well, he was desiccated from the inside out, Jim.
But when you said that, I just thought about that. And I think that's what they all need up in Washington. They all need a real good dose of salt.
You know, they might stay busy doing other things long enough to let America be America again.
Who knows? I hope so.
Thanks, Jim.
Good night, sir.
Later.
Bye.
And Kyle, not Tom, Kyle. Hey, Kyle, you're head on.
Not what?
Not Tom.
Yeah. I got the. I'm driving down the road, and I'm in the car. I got this lady in the cab with me, and I said, "Ma'am, am I on the phone here?" But
no,
I get kind of that.
Yeah, you're not Tom. I know your voice anywhere, Tom.
There you go. Isn't this a great time of the year?
It's beautiful.
We went out for a little after dinner walk, and the honeysuckle and the dogwoods in bloom. And I haven't seen any rhododendron yet. Have you seen any rhododendron?
I've seen some getting ready to blossom. The ones
yeah,
that are
I'm thinking I'm
more
see,
in full sun.
That, that's going to be coming out. This is my favorite time of year.
And the ramps are coming up.
You know, the earth is coming to life after a long winter's nap, as they used to say, or
and,
whatever.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not kidding. I love my ramps, and people are digging ramps like crazy right now.
Yeah, I went by my mom and dad's the other day, and my father, who's basically almost bedridden, sitting there at the breakfast bar in his wheelchair, and he just had his lunch, and I went in, and he was asleep. And I said, "Mama," said Dad. She said, "Well, he knew he was coming by, and he wouldn't go back to bed."
Oh, bless his heart.
And she said he was so. And so I went in, and I woke him up, and I said, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "Sitting there watching our ramps grow that we set out under the honeysuckle bush out there."
Bless his heart.
And I said, "Well, it's great, Dad. And I need to go by and dig some up and bring them, let me."
And well, you know what's next on the wonderful things coming out of the earth schedule.
What's that?
What? It'll be another 2-3 weeks, and you can go into the woods and get the. Well, I guess technically they're morels, but most of the country folk I know call them molly moochers.
Uh huh.
Man.
I'm like Jim. You know, I hadn't heard that term, dose of salt. My mother used to use that, and that's I guess you know. Okay, we're showing you how old we are here, aren't we?
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of. But, you know, that's the beauty of the language. I mean, and oddly enough, you don't have to have a legislature declare that English is the official language of West Virginia, you know, to have something like that.
Right. And, you know, I was listening on John Boy and Billy this morning. They were talking about nicknames, you know, when your nickname when you were a kid. And I'd love to call in because one of my mother's favorite terminologies was... She didn't call you a little devil if you were being mean.
Mm-hmm.
She referred to you as your little horny head.
Oh.
And I would, I thought it would be so classic because it would, I say, Mom, please don't call me that when my friends are around, okay?
Yeah.
Well, then don't act like you're acting when the friends are around, young man.
Yeah, it's all about the personal responsibility.
Exactly.
That's the real stuff, Kyle. That's the real stuff.
That is. That's what it's all about. Who was the caller before Jim?
That was Calvin.
Calvin.
Hadn't heard from Calvin in
I gotta tell Calvin, stop telling you not to do stuff, because as long as you're doing stuff, you're playing right into our hands. Calvin, don't tell him not to do it. As Rush Limbaugh says, one of these days they're gonna start listening to you, Calvin, and it's gonna be all over for us. So don't tell Bob not to call these names and say these things, because he's playing right into our hands.
Oh, mercy, Kyle. I tell you what, when you're reduced to following the philosophical ravings of a heroin addict, I tell you, you're in tough territory.
Bob, now come on. Now, I can see what was it, 9 months ago that we had the Democrat convention?
August? Yeah.
August, July, somewhere along
there. Yeah, it was late July, wasn't it?
Yeah sure. Well, it's been 9 months ago?
Yeah.
And the honeymoon's over. Shirley Love, who, man, you guys got on the phone with him up here at the convention, and you were God's gift to radio. And now all of a sudden the love affair is over with and done.
Well, no, there was never any love affair. I'll give anybody a fair shake. But, you know, the political shenanigans and foolishness that I have been forced to bear witness to, Kyle, I would say this about a Democrat, I would say this about a Republican, a communist, an anarcho-syndicalist, I don't care what. If you go down to the legislature and you make an addle-pated fool out of yourself, I have the right to comment on that.
Now, Bob, you can't go using words I can't even spell when you're talking to me.
You get the gist. I mean, I've got a little integrity here, and I've got to maintain it.
Very little, but you got some, Bob. But I just, I heard that conversation between you and Shirley Love from the convention, and I've never heard as many attaboys and slap on your back as I heard. And now when I see the honeymoon is over with, and he and Mr. Manchin and our governor threw out the first ball for the...
did he? For the power?
Yeah, for the power. And they showed up, that Fox 59 showed it on the first
I can't wait to go down there for a ball game, Kyle.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, that place is absolutely, and they had a full hour on Fox 59. They had a full hour, and they showed that ballpark, and they interviewed. And the great thing was they were interviewing, they were shown doing a thing. It was a great show. It was a great hour. It was a great piece they put together. And by the way, dittos to your guys who were down there tonight. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was, wasn't it?
Sure was. And that's what I'm like you. That is absolutely a beautiful park. And
I'm going to enjoy seeing a game there. My kids are absolutely going to lose their minds seeing a game there. I can't. And what? No ticket in the place is more than $6.
Yeah, and Bob, there's not a bad seat in the house.
No, there's not.
I mean, there is no obstructions. You know, so many times you go to these major league ballparks, these, you know, multi-zillion-dollar stadiums, and you got a pole, and you
can't. Yeah, you get a seat behind the girder.
Yeah, because you can't see the pitcher because the pole's in your way.
Right.
And not it's all right on ground level. And they've got everything. They've got everything done on that park. And they're interviewing the players, and the players said, "You know what? We can't." They interviewed one of the pitchers, and he said, "This was live while the game was going on." And he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "The feeling in the clubhouse is we can't let this city down. We can't let this state down.
Good.
We've got to." And it was funny. They got behind the second batter up. For who were they playing? Team out of Maryland, and I think it was Fredericksburg. I may be wrong with that. Hits a home run. Second player up. Then the next player up gets a base hit, and then pitcher strikes out two batters, and the inning's over with. And the first player up for Charleston triples, and next player up singles and scores a run. Then the program
nice.
Went off, and but I think it's something that we all need to be proud of. We should.
Well, it's the definition of a family-friendly place to go.
Well, you know, this state has got with our football program at WVU and at Marshall,
yeah,
top notch. Our basketball program at WVU, they've already, one of the assistants have been hired away.
Yeah, we've got a lot to be proud of.
We sure do.
And I'm interested in Charleston baseball because it's buried within my soul. I got taken to minor league games when I was younger than my son is now in Watt Powell Park when it was a Triple A. You know, I saw Dave Parker play Triple A ball in Charleston.
Do you remember the Charleston Rockets?
No.
That was the semi-professional football team
right.
in Charleston.
They played in the wrong season. We only came up in the summer.
And my sister worked for Vic Green, who owned the Charleston Rockets.
Right. Wow.
And they had the first ever undefeated professional football team.
And they played there at Laidley Field, right?
They played at Laidley Field in Charleston.
Hey, Kyle, we got to go. I mean, we're 10 seconds.
Okay,
thanks,
partner,
man.
Take care,
later.
Partner.
This is News Talk 620 WWNR AM, Beckley, West Virginia. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Liberal lights in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. The first 2 hours just flew by. Having a lot of good fun here. It was suggested to me, and I think I'm going to take up the suggestion. You do realize that yesterday, Eric Rudolph pled guilty to, what, 4 counts in relation to the 1996 Atlanta Olympic Park bombing abortion clinics, that kind of thing. You know, mainstream Republican stuff. He issued, you know, and all these weirdos always have a statement. You can get his statement. I got it at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com, text of Eric Rudolph's statement. Now, for those of you who feel that you are good Republicans, this again, these are the people you're in bed with. You can't excuse them. You can't say, well, you know, that's because you know what? They're becoming a majority. Republican serial killers, Republican kitty diddlers, Republican kitty porn aficionados, and now a Republican bomber. He starts, and this thing is a long, rambling manifesto. This guy would be welcome. He would fit right in at most any Southern county Republican Party meeting. Not so much with what's the Savage Wiener call them, the checked pants Republicans. Not so much your up east Republicans, your Rhode Island Republicans, your Maine Republicans. Not so much them. But with anything in the redneck, you ever wonder why the media decided that the Bush states were red? I'll tell you why, because they're thinking neck every time they say red state. Bush, red neck state. Well, see, I told you, Bob, it was a liberal media. No, it's just what they are and where they are. I mean, my God, there's plenty of redneck in me. Sure there is. Don't look at me like that. No, I mean, are you kidding? Pabst Blue Ribbon? I love Pabst Blue Ribbon. I'm wearing blue jeans. I take my southernness seriously, you know. I mean, it's warm weather. The socks are gone. You should see the back of my neck. It's so red. But anyway, Rudolph says, the fact that I have entered an agreement with the government is purely a tactical choice on my part and in no way legitimates... Oops. Well, I guess he's not welcome in West Virginia because he obviously doesn't speak English as the official language. That would be what he was thinking about there was legitimizes. Idiot. I am told there's a difference between redneck and country hillbilly people. I take it we're country hillbilly people? Right. Okay. That's my lovely daughter answering the phones this evening. Interning, if you will. Yeah, okay. I'll take your. I don't know. That might be a false dichotomy. I'm not sure. The fact that I have entered an agreement with the government is purely a tactical choice on my part, and in no way legitimates the moral authority of the government to judge this matter. Yeah, well, okay, son. I'm going to judge you anyway. You're going away for life without parole, and I'm giving you a roommate named Bubba. Because, you know, one of the things this guy hates is homosexuals. Here in a couple of weeks or so, he's going to be about as gay as any waiter in New York City. And, yeah, you know, justice? Oh, that's some good justice. And then he goes off on the abortion thing. And he says, I'm not an anarchist. I have nothing against government or law enforcement in general. It is solely for the reason that this government has legalized the murder of children that I have no allegiance to, nor do I recognize the legitimacy of this particular government in Washington. So, let's see, because a woman is allowed to decide, as, you know, it's perfectly natural, what happens to her body and what is best for her, because she gets to make that decision, Mr. Rudolph gets to blow up adults. You gotta, listen, how many times do I have to say it? They would be hilarious if they weren't so damn deadly. They're killers. I keep handing you the evidence. I keep trying to tell you. Blood and death are what they are about. Oh, no, well, they're not mainstream. Nah, neither was Timothy McVeigh. Right. We're coming up on the 10th anniversary of that. Remember, the worst terrorist attack in this country prior to 9/11 was perpetrated by a Republican. The Atlanta Olympic Park bombing was perpetrated by a Republican. Now, he does say something here that is interesting. I've got to find it. The Republican, this is Eric Rudolph talking. There are those who would say to me that the system in Washington works. They say that pro-life forces are making progress, that eventually Roe v. Wade will be overturned, that the catcher of life, there it is again, the catcher of life, apparently he's had a TV while he was awaiting trial, that the catcher of life will ultimately win over the majority of Americans and that the horror of abortion will be outlawed. Yet in the meantime, thousands die every day. They say the mechanism through which this will be achieved is the Republican Party, and under the benevolent leadership of men like George W. Bush, the wholesale slaughter of children will be a thing of the past.
the wholesale slaughter of children under George W. Bush. Did he really understand what he was writing there? The mechanism through which this will be achieved is the Republican Party, and under the benevolent leadership of men like George W. Bush, the wholesale slaughter of children will be a thing of the past. Well, only if the past is, you know, a year or so ago, or day before yesterday, when, you know, we dropped a JDAM or a Tomahawk cruise missile, something like that, you know, onto a family of six in, you know, some dusty little corner of Iraq. But with every day that passes, another pile of corpses is added to the pyre. See, he started out, that's the thing, this guy is just such a dishonest Republican creep. He started out being a white supremacist. But when he realized that he was going to get more mileage out of anti-abortion, and that in the little secret Republican circles they would sit around and sort of nod their heads knowingly and go, well, I don't necessarily agree with his motives, but I don't agree with his actions, but I can certainly agree with his motives. He says, the coward Bush talks about the culture of life, but intends to effect no change with respect to Roe v. Wade. And then he starts talking about stem cells. You know, this is another one of those weird, creepy freaks for whom single cells are more important than walking, breathing human beings. He's more concerned about stem cells frozen in liquid nitrogen than he is hungry children on the streets of America. What a freak. I don't want him to just have one cellmate that makes him their girl. I want him to have an entire cell block that makes him their girlfriend. Anybody that can think like this deserves everything that's coming to him in prison. Now, I know that's nice, and that's not going to do me any good with the kumbaya crowd. I didn't want this guy to get the death penalty. For most of these people that you have this gut response that, and that includes this cooey creep in Florida, and if it turns out this other creep has done something to this little Lundy girl in Florida again, look, another Republican state where kiddies are getting diddled and killed and raped and buried alive. Another Republican state. Thank God they're the law and order bunch. No, this cooey creep where, really, honest to God, even including me, when you find out what he did to that poor little girl, your first thought is, kill him now. But killing him is not going to bring back little Jessica Lunsford. No, I try to keep my mean streak suppressed. But Mr. Cooey, I want him to get what's coming to him in prison. Mr. Rudolph, this man who purports to follow Christ, needs to get what's coming to him in prison. I don't want him waiting on death row. I want him living in a cell block with lots of friends. You understand? I want him punished. And I want him to have a long, long life. And no Vaseline. Now, I know that's gross, and I apologize for that, but this, they will find a way to mete out justice. You know, he brags about, I have deprived the federal government of their desire to kill me. Sunshine, I'm not sure if you're quite aware of what you've been deprived of. Nope, not going to say it. Now, that nasty creep, Flemball, said something on the radio on Tuesday, but I'm not going to repeat it. I would get boiled in molasses if I said on the air what that creep Limbaugh said. And it amazes me that the man is... But of course, again, the damn double standard. He's a Republican, baby. He can say... You know, he can use any foul word on the public airwaves that he wants, and ParentsTV.org and L. Brent Bozell III won't say a word about it. So I'm not going to get... I'm not going to get vulgar about Mr. Rudolph. But he does say... Along with abortion, another assault upon the integrity of American society
is the concerted effort to legitimize the practice of homosexuality. Homosexuality is an aberrant sexual behavior, and as such, I have complete sympathy and understanding for those who are suffering from this condition. He has sympathy and understanding. Give it another couple of weeks there, Eric, old boy. You're going to have a lot of understanding. Whether it is gay marriage, homosexual adoption, hate crimes laws including gays, or the attempt to introduce a homosexual normalizing curriculum into our schools, all of these efforts should be ruthlessly opposed. Ruthlessly. This guy must be like Mr. McCoy, our fine West Virginians from West Virginians for the Family, or whatever. He believes that little children who might be or might not be gay in our schools need to be stomped on a regular basis because he's pro-family and he votes Republican. What a bunch of freaks. I mean, for my part, looking after me, minding my business, taking care of my family, 24-hour-a-day job. Agnes and I, we've got our hands full. Four young'uns, bills to pay. We, honest to God, don't have time to mind anybody else's business but our own. But these creeps, the Rudolphs, the DeLays, the Santorums, the Frists, they have all the time in the world to mind everybody else's business. Now, that kind of Republican thinking runs contrary to most of our values here in West Virginia. Or at least the folks that I grew up around and were influenced by. Because mind your own business was pretty high on the list. But not if you're a Republican. You get to mind everybody else's business but your own. And then one day they come along and they find out that there's kiddie porn on the computer of that Republican who's minding everybody else's business. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's beyond me. And what's Jimmy Buffett say? It's kind of like the boogaloo. It plumb evaded me. Any conscientious individual afflicted with, oh boy, you know they're dandies when they're using afflicted. Any conscientious individual afflicted with homosexuality should acknowledge that a healthy society requires a model of sexual behavior to be held up and maintained without assault. A model of sexual behavior. Which model would that be, Mr. Rudolph? The model of sexual behavior in which you're going to be engaged in another week or two? Or would it be the model of sexual behavior as evinced by that Boy Scout leader in Texas who was busted for kiddie porn? Or how about the Republican radio guy in Nashville who was busted for kiddie porn? Which model, Eric Rudolph, which model mainstream Republicans sharing a party with Mr. Rudolph? Which model? This is just silly. He talks about bombing the abortion clinic. And he said, this facility routinely kills and mutilates an average of 50 human beings every week. Every employee is a knowing participant in this gruesome trade. The security guard is instrumental in protecting these murderers and their facility from those who would intervene to stop this bloody practice. So in other words, because they've got a security guard who won't let these right-wing Republican freaks just come in and beat the snot out of them, they deserve to be killed. I don't know about you. I can't get my... Does that make sense to you? And that's the sad thing. There are people within the sound of my voice, good, God-fearing, upstanding, godly Republicans, who believe that Eric Rudolph was doing the right thing.
And if you think you're a Republican and you don't agree with Eric Rudolph, what in the hell are you doing in his party? The object was to target the doctor killer. But doctor killer? I thought they were baby killers. But because the device was prematurely discovered by the security guard, it had to be detonated with only the assistant killers in the target areas. They're assistant killers? They kill assistants? Maybe he can get an English class in prison. The protester was across the street, and customers waiting to have their child killed were in the parking lot just yards away, but because of the focused nature of the device and being command detonated, only the killer were caught. Killer were caught. Yep, here's another one for your English as an official language. In the blast zone. I had nothing personal against Lyons and Sanderson. They were targeted for what they did, not who they were as individuals. Oh, well, it's okay then! Long as you didn't have anything against them personal, Mr. Rudolph! Oh, my God. Please, please, if there's anybody listening to me who is involved with the federal prison system, please don't let Mr. Rudolph have his own cell. Please. In the name of justice and for the sake of those he murdered, don't let him have his own cell ever. Don't want him executed. Don't believe in the death penalty. I just want him to get up close and personal with the homosexual agenda. Lord, I despise these people and the people that support them. And it just gives me cold chills down my spine to think for only an instant that indeed there are people who are sitting there right now saying, I hate that Bob Kincaid, but I tell you what, that Eric Rudolph, he's a martyr. And he's going to be welcomed into the loving arms of Jesus when he passes on. Because he killed for Jesus. Is that your religion? Is the forgiving Christ engaged in the business of forgiving the likes of Eric Rudolph and Cooey in Florida and Philip Edward Collette in Alabama and that groovy, hey, wacky DJ from the Christian station in Nashville, hey? Or the Boy Scout leader in Texas, or the BTK killer in Kansas. Oh. Jump on the Bella's little demons. Company's coming. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Raleigh County man could face up to 20 years prison for robbing a Crab Orchard Bank. Arnold Campbell Jr. of Prenswick pleaded guilty to a federal bank robbery charge Wednesday in U.S. District Court Beckley. Campbell walked into the Whitesville State Bank January 27th armed with a 6-inch knife and bandana covering his face and made off with a little more than $1,600 and was later arrested by sheriff's deputies the next day. The Whitesville Bank was robbed again a month later when Earl Albert Moore of Glendaniel walked in armed with a revolver and took off with more than $2,500 cash. He was arrested near the bank just a few minutes later and is now facing federal bank robbery charges. Lawmakers made a surprise visit to a Mount Hope Juvenile Detention Center yesterday. Members of the legislature's Committee on Regional Jails and Prisons found no major problems during their two-hour inspection of the Gene Spadaro Juvenile Center, but they feel some changes need to be made. One concern was about security. The center has no fence around it, and some local residents were concerned about escapes. Director Ralph Terry says he's met with Mount Hope Mayor Michael Martin about letting some of the youthful offenders help in the community by picking up trash, sweeping streets and sidewalks. He says any fears about security have pretty much now gone away. For the past decade, State Senator Karen Facemeyer has inflated the mileage report to the state from her Jackson County home to Charleston. By doing so, the Republican avoided paying federal taxes required for lawmakers who live less than 50 miles from the Capitol. The Charleston Gazette reports Facemeyer received about $2,000 more in state mileage reimbursement money by exaggerating the distance of her commute for attending legislative meetings. That's the news. Now the forecast for the rest of this evening. Clear and chilly, with temperatures in the upper 40s to around 50. Tonight, clear with a low mid-30s. There's a chance of some light frost tonight. And then for Friday, mostly sunny again, a little bit warmer. Tomorrow's high in the low 60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Paying too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles to the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.toyota.com. Sale ends 4/31.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
We're there. Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there.
When disaster strikes.
We're one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
WWNR Beckley.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's Pet Tip. What are the psychological preparations necessary to bring a kitten home? Well, listen carefully. Preparing for your new family member is not just a matter of having the right objects in the right places. You must also make certain emotional adjustments are done. The best time to bring home a pet is at the start of a weekend when family members can be at home. It's critical to the bonding process that you don't plan any social activities in the house during the animal's first few days. A loud party with dozens of strange families faces is simply too much exposure for the newcomer to deal with. You know, bringing a new puppy or a new kitten home is really a wonderful day, but it's also important that you give the new kitten or puppy the opportunity to adjust before socializing with tons of other people. Make sure your home is safe for your pet. What I recommend doing is crawling around on your hands and knees, making sure there's nothing there that can injure your new puppy or your new kitten. Keep it quiet, keep it calm for the first few days, and then wait a couple of weeks and throw that big party. I'm Warren Eckstein.
America is a country of entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy. You can lighten that load a little at Sam's Club. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on products you need every day. After all, while you may be carrying around the weight of the American economy, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting by yourself. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
Good news about Aleve for those with arthritis pain. Reports are out about an independent government panel. According to the New York Times, several panel members said that patients in need of pain relief should first try naproxen, sold as Aleve, before COX-2 inhibitors. Forbes.com says the committee considered naproxen to be the safest NSAID from a cardiovascular standpoint. If you suffer from arthritis, ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Use is directed for minor arthritis pain.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I love my new mower. Any safety tips?
Oh, I'm sure I can think of something. Read your operator's manual and pay close attention to all warning labels. Wear eye protection, long pants, and leather shoes. No loose clothes that might catch. Be extra careful walking backwards with a walk-behind mower. And don't run over your own toes. To help retain stability when mowing hills, riding mowers should mow up and down, while walk-behind mowers should travel across hills.
What if something clogs my mower? Should I try and fix it myself?
Mower blades move fast, about 200 miles an hour, so never put your hand inside a mower to clear a clog. John Deere says shut off the mower and investigate jams using a stick or a tool. For anything more than a simple clog, though, take your mower to the dealer for service.
Thanks, Bill. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
Here's Bob Kincaid, head on.
Hey, we're back and cruising towards 10 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Another reminder, of course, the email, bob@headonradio.com. And do, by all means, drop by the website, headonradio.com. Jump in on the message boards. Like I said, it's free, and you will have a time. But, you know, bring your thick skin, okay? Because there's some pretty nasty conservatives on the board. But at any rate, let's go back to the phones. One of the denizens of the board, Cherie, is with us. Not one of the nasty conservatives. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. You?
Oh, pretty well. Awesome rant tonight.
Well, thank you.
That is awesome. I've got a question, though. You say that Rush was down in the sky, right?
Well, no. Rush was talking about something else, but, you know, being a typical Republican, he was being vulgar.
Well, of course.
But he used it. I mean, I love, you know, there are six other stations here, and I'm very proud of all of them, but my focus is WWNR.
Right.
And my concern is WWNR's well-being. And this guy uses vulgarity that could get us hammered, and we still running.
Well, it'll never get him hammered.
No.
But, you know, how can he be against gays? Because he was busted for solicitation.
Yeah.
Of a male prostitute.
What's the official term? Gay pandering, I think.
I believe it is.
It was back in his Jeff Christie days in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've got no problem with it. If the guy wants to do it, that's fine.
Right!
But,
that, you know, that's our side of the debate. You know, be what you are. Welcome to humanity.
Why bust somebody's chops for something that you do? You know, he's an OxyContin freak.
And he declares that drug offenders need to be put away for life. I know.
Well, you know, he's on loan from God.
But it's the Republican double standard, Cherie. They can literally commit murder and get away with it.
Oh, you mean when they're really, really down and base, and then when you come back at them, they say, "Why are you being mean to me?"
Yeah, kinda. You know,
I have never heard such whining in my entire life. My babies were better than that. You know, give them a cookie and send them off to the corner. And on the abortion issue,
yeah.
Do these people know what a miscarriage is?
It's termed
a spontaneous abortion.
No.
Yes.
You mean the official medical lingo for it?
Yes. Yes.
Well, they are demonic spontaneous abortions.
Well, does that mean that they're going to put these women in jail or go bomb them? I mean, you know, tragedy's already struck. And
look, there's never enough blood. There's never enough death to satisfy a Republican.
Look, I'll be honest. I had a miscarriage, and I'm a nurse. Mm-hmm. I was in the hospital, and of course, you know, other medical professionals around me felt very comfortable, and they termed it a spontaneous abortion. And to be quite honest, it pissed me off.
Yeah. I can see where. Because the right has managed to attach so much stigma to that word.
Exactly. And the thought of your body betraying you by causing you to expel your progeny is pretty nasty in itself.
Yeah, but that's just nature. That's what nature does.
Well, the thing of it is I am so sick of the men being the ones to gripe about, oh, we're going to go bomb these people, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I'm sorry, when a guy gets pregnant, then he's got something to gripe about.
Right. Grow a uterus, you can complain about it.
Better yet, you know, season's coming in, let's grow a watermelon, shove it up his rear end, leave it for about 9 months and see how he feels. You know?
You're cruel.
I just want to be there when he passes it.
I've come to the conclusion you have a cruel streak.
No. Actually, I'm a big kitten. I just...
With sharp, nasty claws.
I call bullshit where I...
Ah!
Who?
You!
Who, I mean?
Okay, we got it, right? Okay. That's okay. Just please.
Oh, so sorry, Bob. Okay. I meant excrement.
Yeah, just, see? Okay, well, I don't think it went out over anything but the internet.
Oh, I hope not. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
Tell them I'll pay the fine.
Naughty, naughty, naughty. Don't ever, ever, ever do that again, please.
I won't. I'm sorry. Excrement.
Yeah, okay.
And it's really sad because women allow them to do it. And there are women that get behind them.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they have the Stepford wife chip implanted.
Well, sure. I mean, there are people who are... Listen, men or women alike, Cherie, there are always people who are willing to give up their rights because they think that someone else will be a better guardian of them. But for the most part, when you hear the anti-abortionists, it's always some killer redneck man like Eric Rudolph. You know, it's always some guy howling about abortion.
Who's never been pregnant,
who has never known the agony, who has never known the fear and the worry about whether a child will be born healthy or whether or not you've got the wherewithal to raise a child. Interesting little blurb, I don't know if it was in the paper or not. The Bush administration sought an expert statistician's input from the University of Chicago. And they asked him what contributed most to reducing crime in America.
Right.
And he had done a statistical study from the 70s forward, and he said the greatest correlation of any social factors he could identify between decreasing crime in the United States was Roe versus Wade. That when women had the option of choosing whether or not to bring a life into being on this planet, that great numbers of unwanted babies that would later grow up to be criminals were no longer there.
Well, see, I wonder how many of these people who are anti-abortion realize that...
Wait, Cherie, because we have let them steal the language again. Call them what they are.
Murderers?
No, they are anti-woman, okay? These anti-women people. Because these are men, they've never been through the decision, they've never had the fears, they've never had, you know, they have no basis in reality upon which to base a judgment. Call them what they are, Cherie. Don't let them have the language. They are anti-woman. They are misogynists, okay?
Well, what are the women? Get behind it.
Self-loathers?
Well, the thing being is
again, remember, Cherie, the anti-abortion movement, the anti-woman movement, is made up of a majority of men, not women.
Well, there are lots of men who'd like to own a woman.
Sure.
But they don't realize when they're sleeping beside them what that woman's thinking.
Women and cats.
I would be afraid.
Women,
because, you know,
women and cats will do as they please, and men and dogs can just get used to it.
Well, gentlemen, check your dinner out before you eat it, because if you're like that, your wife may be thinking something else. I'm sure the prison system can attest to that. But there are more ways than to go to a doctor to have an abortion.
Listen, it's been going on for as long as there have been human beings, and
from the dawn of time.
Right, and for the greatest part of human history and prehistory, the only difference now is that we're kind of upfront about it. For most of human history and prehistory, the women just didn't let the silly men in on the secret.
Well,
and it was knowledge that was passed from woman to, from mother to daughter, from granddaughter to daughter to your grandmother to granddaughter to granddaughter. Look at it this way. 5 million women were burned at the stake during the Inquisition of the Church over a course of about 200 years. Some of those women were burned at the stake for passing that knowledge.
Exactly.
Women were burned at the stake for midwifery.
Yes. Well, you know, you don't want to let the secret out.
And so, you know, Eric Rudolph is nothing new, Cherie.
No, he's a murderer, and I don't see how...
Eric Rudolph is an heir to an ancient woman-hating tradition.
Well, the thing of it is how does he get that he's right, taking one life for what?
Well, he's...
For a doctor.
Because he's doing it for Jesus.
Right. And is he going to support these children after they're on the ground?
Well, hell no. I mean, you heard that a year or so ago when Senator Weeks-Minded said he was only responsible for the unborn ones and he didn't give a tinker's damn what happened to them after they were born.
Well, you know, it just amazes me that these men want to be responsible for our bodies. And, you know, slavery was abolished.
But they don't want to be responsible for your body, Cherie. They want to be responsible for your uterus, okay? To these anti-women people, the a woman's sum and substance and the entirety of her being is concentrated in her reproductive organs. Her brain doesn't matter. Her heart doesn't matter. Her lungs don't matter. The days and works of her hands do not matter. The roads she travels with her feet do not matter. You know, it's borne out in the UN funding that we held up and held up and held up and held up because some of the agencies that were funded with American dollars looked at women in third world countries who had been pregnant since the day they had their first menses and looked at them and said, you know, honey, it doesn't have to be this way.
Well,
you know, here's a condom.
It comes
here's
down to that a female is a sentient human being.
Not to these people.
And, well, wait a minute. And in being so, there isn't equality, but yet if you dare to speak up to a man, or, and this isn't all men, because there are lots of great guys out there.
I'm one of them.
There are a few goobers, but if you speak up, you're a feminazi, and of course, I know this person
speaking up. I've seen the rotten things that people have said to you on the board, Cherie.
Oh, that's okay. You know, it's all in play. I mean, would I get emotional over a post?
Well, heavens no. But, I mean, the thing is, they betray themselves. But
sure they do. They're supposed to be the upstanding cream of the crop, and they are the
most
ignorant
beings. Well, they've got the moral...
Being.
I mean, no, these people live on the moral high ground, Cherie, because they're Republicans, you know. And
no, actually, they're the beginning of evolution. They're the ooze that eats themselves.
Oh, the slime mold?
Pretty much. You know,
the slime mold
that
the George
to look at, but they stink.
The slime mold that the George Bush beetle eats. Mm. Yeah, different story. Hey, Cherie, we got a roll, dear.
Have a good evening, Bob.
All right, thanks. Thanks
for
calling.
Bye.
Bye now. No naughty words. No naughty words. And I'm sorry for my response. I hear it, and all I can do is scream. You know, because I'm not a Republican, so I might not get away with it. Ed's been waiting. Hey, Ed.
I want to apologize for calling in so fired up, but the main thing is I couldn't hear on my cell phone. It was starting to go dead.
Uh-huh.
And what you were saying was just really garbled. But
that may have just been me, Ed.
I don't know. I think that phone just wasn't doing right.
Mm-hmm.
But I could hear your program on it. But I could, when you started talking, I couldn't hear your response to what I was saying. But I would like to go over it a little bit again if
sure.
You've got time.
Go right ahead.
Them comparing Byrd and Clinton to George Bush and these other clowns that we got up there, had up there, like Newt Gingrich and DeLay and Fish and all the rest of the ones like that, it's like comparing day to night.
Yeah, it is.
And, to get Jeff on there, you know, and he wants to go all the way back to Lyndon Johnson and what he did. Why don't he go on back some more to Abraham Lincoln and George Washington? I mean, you know, if he wants to take that up. And the main thing is this old Hyde that was in there, what a hypocrite he was, charging out after Clinton like he did when he had an illegitimate child.
Broke up a
marriage. And Burlington, I think, was from Alabama. He had to resign out of the leadership, and then them holler about one thing, and you know I certainly ain't praise him for doing that. He brought the house down on his head when he did it, but they harp on one thing, and that's Clinton and Byrd, and you know, and I really like that. I like to hear people like that run their mouth on Byrd because they show what they are. Because there's too many West Virginians that's put out the word and that Byrd has helped them, and when there wasn't no help to be had, and he's put more that they call a pork barrel, other states do.
Yeah, if we get it.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, if we get it, it's pork.
Yeah, but you know what? They overlooked that. But we need somebody like Weeks to go to Washington and holler about breakfast in bed or something and smoke it. We, you know, that is unspeakable. I mean, how do they justify somebody like that? And to talk about some good people that's done this country more good than George Bush could even in his wildest dreams could do, because his brain is in his heels or somewhere. And for them to defend that, but Bob, they're blind. They're absolutely, about the time I think some of them has got a little bit of sense, they come up with what I heard tonight.
Well, you know, Ed, you say they're blind. I would agree with you. Some of, but there are different kinds of blindness, and there is a certain, there's a kind of blindness that comes on you when you've stuck your own thumbs in your own eyes. That's the kind of blindness we're dealing with out of the right.
Yeah, they thrive on deceit and cover up, and not they wouldn't know the truth if it was as big as a baseball bat and hit them between the eyes. They would not recognize the truth. And I don't know if it's like you say, that they just don't want to face it. They'd rather go their way, but it fascinates me to think somebody can be that ignorant.
Well, a lot of times watching Republican politics is like being at the zoo and going to the monkey house and watching the monkey play in his own. Mm-hmm. You know, it's equally entertaining, and it stinks about the same.
Yeah. Well, I love to hear him call you. I mean, I get a charge. I say, well, Bob's going to bust their hide in, because they only, it's like you say, they come unarmed. They, you know, the truth will set you free. They don't know what that means. They've never dealt with the truth personally.
Well, they're so used to, they've lived in chains for so long that their chains feel like freedom to them.
Well, I don't know how some people got their heads screwed on wrong so young. Usually it takes a long time to become that ignorant. I mean, I knew guys that had to go to school 5 years to be that ignorant before they could graduate the head of the class. So I apologize for getting so fired up over it.
That's all right, Ed. You know what? It's good to get fired up. My God. Ed, if we could get the rest of our party this fired up instead of sitting around the campfire singing, you know, singing songs, we might make a little bit of a difference.
But instead, you know
what Will Rogers said. He said, "I do not belong to an organized political party. I am a Democrat."
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we've got somebody here to rebut all this garbage that comes out, and it's like you said, what term did you use before? They've been in that juice again,
yeah,
whatever kind of juice you call it.
Been in the Kool-Aid again.
Yeah, been in that Kool-Aid again. But anyway, I want to call and try and just apologize for my phone.
No apologies.
Because I couldn't hear what you were saying back, so I could give a decent answer, and I figured when I got home here, I'd go ahead and call you back again.
Okay. Hey, Ed, I'll tell you what. Let me put you on hold here. I want to speak to you when we're off air for a second, okay?
Sure thing.
All right. Okay. You know, there's self-imposed blindness. And there's the blindness that nature brings on. You know, if you've gouged out your own eyes, if you've gone all Oedipus, who have you got to blame but yourself? And I know I'm harsh. But I guess it's kind of the tradition I come from. You don't wink at hypocrisy, and you don't wink at evil. You call it for what it is. And if there are good people participating in it, you try to enlighten them. I mean, we've got nice people who, you know, whose daddy and granddaddy and mama and grandmama understood where their bread was buttered, and as a consequence would never have voted for a Republican in a million years. But their teaching either was never heard, or was heard and forgotten, or, what is worse, deliberately cast aside. And as a consequence of that, we have the country we have now. The country that those mamas and grandmamas and daddies and great-granddaddies and so forth, the country they built, we're tearing down as fast as we can possibly throw the bricks. And for what? What is it we want, and what do we want to replace it with? A theocracy? A place where some radical cleric like Jerry Falwell or this Kennedy guy from Coral Snake Ministries, a radical cleric gets to declare what the law of the country is, and we just throw democracy under the wheels of a moving bus? Honest to God, stand up and be counted. If that's what you want, say so, so that we, the decent people, can at least know you for what you are. Nobody's taken God out of the schools or the public square. Check it out. March your happy rear end up to the grass in front of the Raleigh County Courthouse and start singing Nearer My God to Thee or The Church in the Wildwood or Amazing Grace and watch no one stop you. I've said it in jest, but walk into any high school algebra class and you will see children praying. And no one stopping them. This is a bunch of made-up garbage because there are power-hungry radical clerics who want to destroy America for their own nefarious ends. And the sheeple are going along with it because they think by some miraculous fiat that radical cleric has a hotline to God. And that is just a load of hooey. The show tonight was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky. The beautiful Lorelei answered your calls. Randy Kerbway engineered the show. The show was announced at least in part by Brian Reznor. And brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night at whiterosesociety.org by Ben Birch. Good to hear from Ben tonight. Drop on by. A lot of good stuff there. Hey, Agnes.